This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk, and we have a special guest today, Gary U.S. Bonds. Yes, you've heard that name many times in the past. His new book is called Buy U.S. Bonds, and it is out from Wheatley, I think it's Wheatley Press, right? Hello.
Yeah, Wheatley Press.
Wheatley Press LLC. I never knew what that LLC meant. I've seen that on a lot of things. What does LLC mean? Now I'm going to get all these letters about what LLC means.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get it now.
How are you?
I'm okay, David.
You're in your 70s now. You don't mind me saying that, do you?
No, not at all. I'm glad to be looking at the green side.
I never know whether to mention age. That's one thing I always think. Should I mention somebody's age or should I not? Are they going to get embarrassed? You never really know.
Well, you look into somebody's soul, you know how old they are.
I'm reading your book here today, and it just fascinates me. You've been through a lot.
I didn't realize it until I started the book.
That makes
and
it
I said, whoa.
I'm watching one of your, you sing at one of the venues on YouTube, and I'm thinking, boy, this guy really has a presence, and you really do have a presence.
Why, thank you. Thank you so much. Which one are you looking at?
I think it was School Is Out, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was, 1962 or something like that?
But is it when you first go on the stage and you first sing, is that a scary proposition? I mean, what was that like the first time for you?
I think the first professional one that I did, that was at the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
I finally got out there. The first, I guess, minute and a half, it was a little weird. But after that, I haven't had a twitch yet.
I guess that you really just have to, you know, you're very talented, and it's obvious. You wouldn't have lasted all these years if you didn't have a lot of talent. I mean, but the trick to it is, you know, you just do it and you get rid of the fear. It's that fear beforehand, I think, that really gets to you. I mean, I know myself from doing that, you know, getting up in front of people is always a scary proposition. But
oh, yeah.
Once you get over that fear and once you start doing what you know how to do, it should never be a problem.
Well, I think the only scary part for me was that I was there with a lot of the people that I had admired, you know, growing up. That was my first big show. And, you know, I was there with Ruth Brown and Laverne Baker and Sam Cooke.
Wow, that's a big name.
Wilson and B.B. King and Moms Mabley.
Moms Mabley, there's a name I haven't heard in years. Wow.
So just to walk on the stage with those people, I've been listening to their records, you know, during my teenage days down in Norfolk. And I was on stage with them and meeting and hanging out with them and telling jokes backstage, you know, that was scary. Then I had to go on stage.
Right.
So that was a scary part. But once I did it, that first minute and a half, I would think it, everything fell into place. And I went, hey, you know, it's cool. I can do this.
Did you ever doubt it, that you would be able to do that? Were there a lot of doubts?
No, my mom wouldn't let me doubt anything. She always told me I was the greatest ever.
Oh, that's great. What a mom, you know?
Believe it.
We all need moms like that.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
I mean, your kids are always the best thing in your lives, and if they're not, there's something wrong.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, who talked you into writing this book? But I like the title, Buy U.S. Bonds, because it's, you know, it's got that ring to it, you know, the Buy U.S. Bonds slogan that they used for years. But who talked you into writing this book, or was it your idea?
No, well, Bill Reed down in Norfolk actually told me, he says, sitting in his yard one day, we were having a barbecue there, and he said, you know, you should write a book, because we were telling stories, you know. And then I came back to New York, and then Stephen Cooper, he went to Europe with me. Mm-hmm. And him and his wife, and when I got back, he showed me some of the things that he had written about us being in Europe, and it was a very exciting and interesting the way that he wrote it. I didn't know he was a writer. I knew he sold insurance, but I never knew he was a writer. And then I read that, and I went, wow, this is really cool. And then he asked me, he said, I would like to do your autobiography. And I went, you know what, I think you're right good enough to do it, and do it justice. So that's how it started.
Right.
And then he started following me around, and went back to Norfolk and met some of my old friends that I grew up with down there, and just met everybody.
Right.
And put the book together. In fact, it was done in less than a year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have a lot of memories. I mean, you've got a lot of things that have happened to you in your life.
Yeah, my memory's not that good, but thank God I got my wife for 50 years.
She's still with you, I mean, and that's amazing when you think of all the road things you did. And, you know, you look at rock and roll road guys in the old days, and you know they were with women all the time. You know.
Yeah, right.
And you never knew it. Every night was a different woman for some of them. I was just, who was it I was just talking to? A guitarist, I can't think of his name now. Only Women Bleed, I can't think of. Bob Wagner, is that his name? I can't remember his name now.
Bob Wagner, yeah.
Yeah, and he's telling me about all the women he had. Now, you know, it just blows your mind. You're reading his book, and you're just woman after woman after woman, you know. And
I know, everybody thought I was a womanizer, and I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't at all. I mean, yeah, I've had a few ladies in my life, but nothing like some of these guys, man.
Right.
Oh my God, you know.
I'm reading about all this tour you did, the 70-city tour, and I'm like, God, that's so much work. I mean, you think of 70 different venues, and
yeah,
that's a lot of work. I mean,
it really is, but when you're younger, it is a lot of fun.
I think you were 42 at the time when you were doing that one, that particular one, that's the one I was reading about in the book. But, you know,
I'm still young. 42 is young.
Yes. Yeah, 42, it seems like a very young age, doesn't it?
Doggone right compared to 74.
I mean, look at Betty White at 91, you know. It just blows your mind. I mean, some people never age.
Hey, look, Danny G, my old saxophone player, is 86 years old.
Wow.
You know? And he's going to join me at B.B. King's June 5th, you know, for the book launching. So.
Oh, that's neat.
And he's younger than I've ever seen him, you know.
Now, where exactly can people get the book? Let's tell them where they can get it. I'm sure it's available online, right?
Oh, yeah. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it at
Amazon. Does Amazon have it?
Amazon.com, and if you want an autograph, you can get it at GaryUSBonds.com.
Oh, that's cool.
And I can personally autograph it from here.
You have a lot of friends. I mean, it's obvious from reading your book. You're a very loyal person. Have you always been loyal?
I try to be as loyal as I can. That's the only thing we got left in this whole world out here now is honesty and loyalty. And if you can keep both of those together without getting shot, you're okay, you know?
I mean, you make friends. And there's certain people you know they're going to be your friends for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody was just telling me about their friendship with Sammy Davis Jr. I did an interview with a guy who was friends with him, and he said he just knew the first time he saw him that they were going to be friends for life. And it sounds so weird, but it's so true. I mean, you meet certain people, and you know you just want to be friends with them.
I mean, when I first saw my wife, I knew right away that.
What was it about her? I mean, what was your first impression, and what made you think that? Do you think?
Well, first of all, she was absolutely beautiful, so that caught my attention right away. And then I sat down and talked with her at the club, and she just seemed like my soulmate. You know, we talked about the same things, we enjoyed the same things. And I told my road manager at the time, we used to call him Slow Drag, told Slow Drag, I said, that's the woman I'm going to marry right there. That's her.
Now, did she feel the same way when she first met you?
I never asked her. I'm afraid to.
Well, at this point, you've been with her 50 years. I don't think anything's going to happen now.
Well, you never know with a woman. You know?
I wish we could ask her right now.
Yeah, right.
But you wonder why they, I mean, people say that, love at first sight, and, you know, everybody says, yeah, love at first sight. Come on, that doesn't happen anymore. That only happens in books and movies. You know? But it does happen. It really does happen. And it's
well, it happened to me, and I'm sure it happened to her, because knowing her, she's a New York girl. If she didn't like what she was getting, she'd have been long gone.
I like how you have an index in the back of the book with the names, so we can see, you know, when you got to know people, and you know, all, there's all these different names that we can look and find in the book really fast. That makes for a really cool thing. A lot of autobiographers don't do that, and that bothers me, because I like to be able to find, you know, if you're interested in a certain thing you did, you can go right to the page and find out what all about that, which is really cool.
I think Stephen did a really good job of setting everything up for me. I think it's a beautiful job for a guy that's not a writer.
Now tell me about Joe Royster. I'm curious, did they ever find his body?
They never found him, and we have searched, and
what do you think happened to him?
I have no idea. Joe was a drinker, and I know he was having problems when he was in Vegas and when he was in California. You know, sometimes with the police, you never know when things like that happen. But I know he never showed up on the bus. His luggage did, but he never did.
That's pretty freaky. I mean, you when somebody's in your life for, I don't know, how many years did you know him before he disappeared?
Oh, God, I've known him since 1959.
And what year did he disappear?
When was that? I don't know. That had to be at least, 20 years ago? 25 years ago.
Wow. So it was a substantial amount of time. In your life, you know, when they said they're suddenly gone, it's a shock. You don't get over that for quite a while sometimes.
No, you don't. I still talk, you know, with his sons and his family. We still communicate.
We all know that feeling of reaching for the phone to call somebody who's dead, you know. And I have a friend who died just a year ago, and I still think about, every once in a while I'll think, I should call my friend. And then I think, oh my God, she's not alive anymore. And
that's right, yeah.
It's quite a horrifying feeling. But you
have. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of my friends down in Norfolk that have long passed away. I miss them. I got nobody to play golf with now. You know?
You're a big golfer. That's right.
I'm running out of golf mates.
Well, being born in Jacksonville, Florida, I guess you had a lot of opportunity to play golf down there.
I left Jacksonville when I was about 3 years old.
Okay.
Know, my mom did. My mom and my grandma did. And but in Norfolk, I played a lot of golf. A lot of golf there.
What is it about golf that you love so much?
It's just a really cool game, you know. And I found an 8-iron. We lived just on the golf course there in Norfolk, at the city course. And I found an 8-iron out there one day, and that's when I started playing. I was just swinging the 8-iron around and learned how to play, and I won a lot of money hustling out there with just the 8-iron. It was beating the crap out of guys that had a whole set. You know?
Now, do you obviously sing a lot. You've sung a lot during your career, but do you play instruments too?
I play a little piano. You know, my mom taught me a little piano. She was a piano teacher, and I didn't want to learn that much of the piano back then because, you know, it would have taken away my manhood, I thought. You know?
Right. It's amazing how we have these thoughts that go through our heads. And where do they come from?
I sure miss it. Now, she said, Gary, I got to teach you piano. And I, no, Mom, I don't want to learn. I am so sad now that I didn't learn from her. I would have loved to have played the piano now.
Yeah, I get a little confused with your mamas in the book. Your big mama, your little mama. There's a lot of mamas. Like, he likes to use the word mama, I think.
I think so. I'm very happy with mama.
Right. Mama's a great word. I mean, it's just you know, you can use it at any age.
That's right. That's for sure. You know, I love mama.
I always found sometimes when I was, even in my 20s, I found myself saying mother to my mom, and I'm like, why do I call her mother? It sounds so, it just doesn't sound quite right. Mom sounds so much better, you know?
And with my mom, I never called her mom. I always called her Irene.
Irene.
But when I spoke about her to somebody else, I said mother or mama. But I never called her mom.
Well, how old were you when you first started singing?
Oh, let's see. I had to be 10, 11 years old, I would think.
Did you sing in church?
I did sing in church, but for the wrong reasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I went, when I was about 14 or 15, I used to, this church used to be on, I think it was Bremerton Avenue in Norfolk. And me and the boys, we used to walk around there to that church. But the reason that we walked around to the church was because the reverend there would pay me $5 to come in and sing a couple of you know, gospel songs. And then me and the boys would leave and head straight to the liquor store to get somebody to go in and buy us a pint of liquor.
Oh, really? We can say that now. I don't think you'll get in trouble for that.
I know, but it was for the wrong reasons. But, you know, I did sing in church.
Now, tell me what it felt like to first hear your voice. So your, let's say your recorded voice back. What is that like to hear your own voice like that? I mean, because a lot of people don't like their voices. You know, you hear people say, oh, I hate my voice.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very strange when you first hear it, you know. And
what goes through your mind when you first heard that your voice?
Well, I wasn't sure it was quite me, you know, because you
must be somebody else.
Yeah, what I'm listening to from the tape is not what I hear in my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty cool, though. I kind of liked it, you know. And then I learned how to work with the sound that I heard. You know, I wanted so much to be Clyde McFadden. I just loved Clyde McFadden.
There's always somebody that you want to be like, I guess.
Yeah,
there's always something.
I couldn't do it, you know, but he had this really high, shrill voice that was so cool to me back in the day. And I couldn't find underwear tight enough to make me get up that high.
Exactly. I'm reading some of the names in the book in the back, and it's interesting. I mean, your friendship with Bruce Springsteen, that's amazing. How many years have you known him now?
What, since 1976, I believe. Yeah, 75, 76.
That's almost 40 years.
Yeah.
It'll be 40 years soon.
Yeah.
When you first met Bruce, did you guys click right away? Was it one of those?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he came to see me at a club in Jersey. I think the club was called The Hangar.
Had he heard of you before that? I mean, did he seek you out?
Yeah, it was him and his friends, and they were, I guess they were off, or they weren't busy, or it was near their home or something there, and him and a couple of buddies came to the club to hear me. And one of his buddies came up and said, hey, Bonds, you know, I got a friend out here, and he really likes you, and he wants to come up and sing a couple of songs with you. And I went, oh, yeah, that sounds cool, you know, I'll do that, you know, cause it'll give me a chance to go to a bar and get a beer or something.
Right. Fortification, that's very important.
Yeah, you bet. So I says, okay, what's his name? And they told me his name, and I introduced him to the audience. And ladies and gentlemen, here's a young man who likes to sing a song. Let's give him a big rousing round of applause for Mr. Bruce Springsteen.
Mm.
And the crowd went wild. I mean, they went absolutely wild with this, and I'm going, but who the hell is this guy? You know, I don't know who he is.
And you hadn't heard of him before.
I'd never heard of him.
Was Born to Run out yet?
I believe it was, but I wasn't, you know, I was doing the
you were too busy to even know who he was.
I was so busy trying to eke out a living, you know, doing the old Sheraton, and the I called it the Holiday Inn Tour, you know, what I was doing. And so I wasn't really listening to radio that much. But he got up there, and we sang. Oh, God, I mean, it's not, we were up there for at least an hour and a half, at least an hour past showtime, and we had a ball. And from then on in, I mean, we sat down, had a couple of beers later, and talked about music and just what was going on, learning about him, and struck up a really nice friendship, and it's been going on now for over 40 years.
Do you actually talk to him on the phone even today?
Yeah, well, not recently, because he's overseas now.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, you do. You can call him on the phone and say, hi, Bruce, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, how many people can say that, you know? I remember I was working in a bookstore a few years ago, and they said he had stopped in the store, but he didn't tell anybody he was there. And I thought, oh, God, we had a chance to meet Bruce Springsteen, and he just left the store?
Yeah.
It's like he's a part of music history. He's a legend. I mean, how many times do you get a chance to meet Bruce Springsteen?
Look, he goes around Jersey. I mean, he's the coolest guy in the world. I mean, everybody else is ducking and hiding and putting bags over their face and all that. He walks around Jersey like he's Mr. Smith.
Right. And he always, I don't think he always wears jeans, too. You always see him in jeans.
Yeah, and nobody bothers him. And they respect him that much that they'll say hi. But it's not like, you know, they're going to just jump all over him or anything.
What's your favorite story in your book? What's the favorite thing that you liked writing about?
Oh, I don't know. If it's about music, I like writing about it.
People want to know what's one of some of the interesting stories in this book. Now, the story with the 57 Chevy, the gift to Bruce Springsteen, speaking of Bruce Springsteen, that's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah. He still got that car, too.
He still has it after all these years.
Yeah, and it still looks good. You know, he rides it around Jersey, you know, quite a few times. I've never seen him ride it around there, but... you know, all my buddies tell me, "Hey, I just saw Bruce, man. He's riding around in Dedication." Mm-hmm. I go, "Okay, all right, cool."
Your dedication to your work. I mean, you just keep trying and trying and trying. You've never given up, but you never even mentioned giving up during the course of the book.
No.
You just keep. I mean, you're a steady in perseverance.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it till I get it right.
that's very funny, but I think you've done a lot of things right, wouldn't you say that?
I think so. I think it's been a great ride. It has been one fun ride, and we're only halfway through.
I mean, have you ever? Now, I don't want you to name any names, but have you ever performed with somebody you didn't really like?
Somebody I really didn't like,
or somebody you didn't get along with. How is that when you perform with somebody you don't really care for? Is that difficult?
Yeah, it kind of is, but it's nobody I really dislike. I mean, there's some people out there that I dislike what they do.
Right.
You know, certain things that they do, but just to dislike somebody, I don't think I dislike anybody.
That's really neat. That's really good to hear. I mean, it's a lot of. It's just a waste of time, really. I mean, why bother?
You know, I mean, you're gonna.
You only get so many seconds in this world. You know, why waste it disliking somebody?
Exactly.
I mean, it's one thing if they've done you something wrong and you need to tell them how you feel, but you know, you got to move on. You know.
Yeah. You know, and the only one person I think I would dislike would be my old ex-manager. That was it. But that's only because he did a lot of things to my family that I didn't appreciate.
Well, I only have to talk to you to know you're a nice guy. I mean, you just sound so warm and friendly. I mean, you're not uppity at all.
But thank you. Thank you very much, David.
You never know what people are going to be like. I mean, people think, well, they probably talked before this interview. I've never talked to you before in my life.
Right.
except to call you earlier to make sure what time I was supposed to call you.
Yeah, I know. That was strange, David.
But it was, you know, people must think, well, they must know each other. All these questions are planned out before. And I don't plan my questions out at all. I think it's better when you don't. When you hit somebody with a question and you really make them think, that's what makes it fun to interview somebody.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, I could ask you what's your favorite song, what's your favorite album, and you know that everybody asks you that, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, everybody.
But can you have all these different songs that you've loved singing? How can you say, well, do you like this one over that one?
Well, I do. I like Daddy's Come Home.
You do. What is it about that song?
I don't know. Steve Van Zandt wrote it. It's on the Dedication album. It's just he had. Enough belief in me to think that I could do a ballad. Nobody ever really thought of me doing a ballad.
Why did he? I mean, what was it about? He just knew you could do it?
Well, from what he tells me, he says when we first went in, we did Dedication was the first song, which is up-tempo. And then we did Way Back When, and then we got into This Little Girl. And he liked the way that I sang all three of those songs because Bruce did the lead in to show me which way he wanted it to go, and then I changed it. And Steve says, "Man, you know, you got a hell of a voice, man. You ever do a ballad?" And I go, "Well, no, they don't really want me to do it. They never really wanted me to do a ballad."
Mm-hmm.
He wrote this "Daddy's Come Home" thing for me. It's a beautiful ballad. Beautiful ballad, and I love singing it. And I get so much applause. It didn't sell, but I get maybe the most applause when I do it live.
It's the little things in life, even if they don't become big, I mean, you love. I mean, there's so many little things that happen in your life that you remember, even though maybe you didn't make a lot of money doing them or whatever, but, you know, they still mean an awful lot to us.
Oh, yeah, this one does.
Now, I love these pictures in this book, by the way. There's two sets of pictures, which is unheard of in a book nowadays. Lots and lots of pictures, and the first one's you at age 5. What a great picture.
Yeah.
Like, you look like you're up to something in that picture.
I was always up to something during those days.
Were you a bad kid at all, besides the liquor problems?
I wasn't, looking back, I wasn't a bad kid, but I was mischievous, you know. I like to play jokes on people and other kids and all that stuff, but nothing harmful, just silly jokes.
Now, I'm looking through the picture here, but you're Miss Irene, your mom, and she just looks like she's a loving mother. I mean, it's so important to have parents that really support what you do. I mean, you hear so many times, well, my parents didn't think I could make a living doing singing, you know, or.
Yeah.
But she always believed in you. Why did she always believe in you?
I don't know. She loved music. I guess that's why she taught piano.
Right. Now, how many, do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only one.
You're an only child. Does that bother you sometimes?
No, I like it like that.
You do? That's a song, isn't it?
I get to keep all the presents.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly nice. But did you ever want, growing up, didn't you ever want somebody to play with? I'm sure you had a lot of friends to play with, though.
No, I never wanted anybody. I do have a half-sister, but we didn't. She lived in Jacksonville.
Right.
And I lived in Norfolk. And I would see her every summer, because I'd go visit my old man, you know, down in Jacksonville every summer. So I'd get a chance to meet with her, and then we'd play together. But she's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
She was unlike me. I was a talkaholic.
Yeah, I think you seem very gregarious too. Very, you could get it right in the middle of a party and just fit right in.
Oh yeah, I'm a party guy.
You're the standout guy, literally. Like, there's Gary. Everybody knows Gary.
Oh yeah, and she's a wallflower.
I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, and my brother Steven, everybody knew Steven. So everybody who walked by would say, "Hi, Steven." I'm like, "Steven, who is that?" And he just knew everybody. And I was like, "What do you do? How do you know all these people?" But it is fun to know people. I mean, who doesn't enjoy having friends that you're being proud of, things that they've done? And you certainly have done a lot for people to be proud of.
Oh, I love it. I do have a lot of friends, and a lot of them, are gone now, but a lot of them are still living down in Virginia.
Now, tell me about this Pop Principal Anderson. He never left school? What does that mean?
Pop went to school all his life, up until the last few years of his life.
Really?
He got every degree that you could possibly think of. And he was the only one in the family that he couldn't understand what I was doing. You know, and he didn't get it, because he wanted me to be, a big student like him. You know, and my sister's like that too. I mean, she's got a million degrees. Me, I just didn't like school at all.
Why can't people understand that everybody's different? I mean, you take one person, you take another person, they're different people. Everybody likes something different.
Yeah. I just didn't like it, you know. My sister loved it. My half-sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like that, you know. She loved it. But Pop, throughout his whole life, He came to see me at a show in Jacksonville Beach once, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I took him there and I said, "Pop, I want you to see what I do." And he goes, "Yeah, okay." And on the ride back, he didn't say a word after the show. And I said, "Pop, what do you think?" He goes, "So that's what you do for a living." I go, "Yeah."
They just don't understand. You know, they understand the thrill for you. I mean, to me, I love to read. I love to talk to authors. That's what thrills me. But people don't understand that. I go to work and then people are looking at me like, you know, "You interview authors? How weird is that?" You know, it's like they don't understand. Nobody understands. When you love something, you love it. And there's just, you know, and you have people. Other people have things they love that you wouldn't necessarily love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are people that can sit and watch tennis tournaments all day. I find tennis very boring.
Yeah, I know.
I find it very repetitive, you know, back and forth. I mean, you almost get a headache watching the ball. Imagine being there.
I tried to watch it yesterday, and God.
It's hard to, I don't know. I mean, but there are people that will watch it for 3-4 hours at a time.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
There are people that can sit through opera for 4 hours. I opera just bores me.
But I'll sit there and I'll watch golf, and people don't understand. There's nothing happening there.
Now, tell me about this Plaza Hotel. Your mom introduced you to idols there. Who did you meet there?
Oh, at the Plaza, I met everybody there. That was Miss McGeechan's hotel, Bonnie McGeechan.
Now, where was the Plaza? Where's the Plaza Hotel?
It was on Church Street in Norfolk, Virginia, which is like Church Street was, I guess, the Negro Street, I guess they call it.
It certainly doesn't look like your standard hotel today, that's for sure.
No. It was the only black hotel that when the entertainers came into Norfolk that they could stay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a private home. They couldn't stay downtown to the other hotels.
Now, is that your mom staying outside the car there? On that picture?
No, that's Miss McGeechan.
That's her. That's Miss McGeechan. Oh, okay.
Bonnie McGeechan, yeah, the lady that owns the hotel.
It's fascinating just to look at the old cars. I mean, these cars that we'll never see today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. But back then, I mean, a car was so cheap. And nowadays, you have to pay a fortune for a car.
That's right. Don't even try to get one of those now.
Now, here are the Turks. Now, who were the Turks?
And those are just my buddies in the neighborhood there, you know, with Dee Dee and Moose and Frizzell, and then we had...
Now, how many of them are still alive today?
I know Frizzell is still in Norfolk. Mm. Dee Dee I haven't seen, but they tell me he's alive.
Right.
And they said that Moose, I haven't seen Moose in 100 years either, and they tell me he's still alive. So I guess they all... And Hermione, there was a girl we had also.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me she's still alive, but I haven't seen him.
There you are, pleasing a crowd. That's a great picture. I love the picture of you with Steven Van Zandt. That's a great picture. You got such a big smile on your face. Are you always smiling?
Well, yeah, because I'm always joking around and having a good time. So, yeah, most of the time I'm smiling.
Have you been a constant worrier about money over the years?
Not really, no. I mean, I kind of believe that something's going to happen, you know. We've had some really rough times, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me and my wife, we know how to make it, or fake it till we make it.
The story about the story at the military base, that's an amazing story. Tell me what happened with that.
What happened was we were there to work for the troops, the regular enlisted men.
Right. And you were on a tour.
Yeah, and they set us up to work there. And then when we got there, the officers decided, well, you know, no, we like this band. We don't need them working for them. We need them to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to work for them. I thought they were a little snobby, you know, and it's just I didn't like those old farts.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to work for the kids. They understood the music, you know, and these guys, they didn't know what I was trying to do, you know. And that's where it all started, you know. And I disrespected them in so many ways. And I wasn't in the military, so I didn't care. I didn't have to, you know, bow down to them.
Right. Now, something happened with your wife.
Yeah, well, they couldn't figure out a way to get us off the tour because we had a contract, and I think that was one way to do it. They knew that if they made a stink with her,
oh, that's a shame. What a
I was going to jump in, and they were right, you know. But they didn't realize that she could handle her own. I mean, the poor lady that they sent to take care of my wife. My wife almost choked her out.
Your wife sounds very feisty.
Oh, she's Latin, you know. She's a Puerto Rican. She'll take care of you.
Oh, really? Sometimes not in a good way.
But yeah, they said the lady was military. But when I looked around, she had grabbed a baton and had her in a neck hole. So all that training she had at the base didn't help at all.
I love this, your newly married picture here. What a great picture.
Yeah, right?
That's a terrific picture. And she was very pretty.
She's beautiful. Still is.
Beautiful inside and out, I would imagine. If you've been with her for 50 years, she has to be.
Oh, you bet.
You don't stay with a woman for 50 years unless there's something special about her. What would she say about you?
Oh, we get along. And now that my daughter's gone, it's just her and I at the house. And we have a ball. Even last night, we were out because we didn't have anybody over. She decided, she said, let's barbecue. And we did. And we were having such a ball in the backyard last night. And she said, you know, we really don't need anybody, do we? I hope not.
That's a great feeling to know that. You know, because everybody thinks, well, I don't want to be alone. I need to call my friends and find out what they're doing. But you don't need that. You just have the person you love the most with you all the time.
Exactly. I mean, we had a blast out there playing music and eating and just joking around.
Now, do you sing for the neighbors?
No.
No? No concerts on Memorial Day for the neighbors?
No, not at all. In fact, I haven't seen the neighbors in about 2 or 3 days now.
That's great. but you still love to sing today.
Oh, yeah, I still love to sing. In fact, we're going to rehearsal in a couple hours.
Oh, there's Bruce Springsteen. There's a really young picture of Bruce Springsteen. I don't know what year this was, but this is Little Mama and Bruce Springsteen together.
Oh, that had to be in 80 or 81. He was at the house here.
That's amazing.
That's when the school bus came by and all the kids went crazy. And she became very popular that day.
Now tell me about this guy that was driving your bus and was falling asleep. That had me concerned.
Oh, yeah. We had some strange drivers back in those days. They were strange. I mean,
what was strange about them?
I don't know how we made it. Those guys were doing drugs and drinking and...
And driving after they've been taking drugs. Yeah. That had to be an interesting experience.
And that wasn't the band. That was the bus driver.
Did you ever have any accidents?
Never had an accident.
That's amazing.
Not one accident.
And when you realize what they were doing, that's a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And so if somebody's looking at it. I think God must be looking out after you.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Are you a religious person at all?
I am. I mean, I'm not a church guy. I mean, I don't get up Sundays and try to go to church because I don't like most of those people. You know, I don't believe them anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that pretend to be something they're not at church. It can be a really hard experience.
And I know quite a few.
You think they're your friends, but you find out later they're not necessarily your friends.
I know a lot of people that I know to this day that were reverends and preachers and whatever they were, and not one of them would I trust with a quarter laying on the table.
Now, do you still do nightclubs or concerts even today?
Yeah, I still do them, but I try to just do the concerts. The nightclubs, I kind of try to stay away from if I can.
Why is that?
They're too, most of the owners aren't very good people. You know, they're only looking out for themselves, and they don't care. I mean, if you can do a casino or something like that, that's the best thing to do. Because they really take care of you, and they make sure that you and your family are in good shape, you know.
Now, you were very good friends with Dick Clark, who, you know, oh, God, Dick Clark. I mean, what can you say about Dick Clark?
I love Dick Clark. I love him to this day. He's still with me.
I mean, it's not even, you look at New Year's Eve and it's never going to be the same without him.
No, he was, in fact, if it wasn't for Dick Clark, there would be no Gary U.S. Bonds. I truly believe that. Him putting my song on his show.
I mean, I used to watch Pyramid all the time. I loved him on Pyramid. But and everything he did just seemed to turn to gold. And there was just something about him. And he could look at himself and laugh about himself, too.
Yeah, well, he was a workaholic, you know. That's one thing.
But he seemed to enjoy. He seemed to always be enjoying himself.
Yep, he sure did. I mean, we were on tour together. He had more fun than anybody else on the tour, and he was just a host.
And what a people person! I mean, you talk about a people person. I mean, he could just instantly bond with people. You could see that just by how he was with contestants on his game shows and whatever, you know, and the bloopers show and everything, you know. He just seemed to fit in with everybody.
He was the master. He was truly the master.
Now, you talked to him before he died?
Yeah.
What was that like? What were his spirits?
Oh, he was always up. I mean, him and I get together and the guy that worked for him, Larry, we were always together. And when I go to California, I would always get with them, and we'd go out and have dinner together. Mm-hmm. Every time. It was really, really great. And Dick loved to have a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And so did I.
So you knew what it felt like.
And Larry Klein worked for Dick Clark, I guess, 40 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Klein and I, we're still buddies, and we go out, you know. He's a funny guy, real funny guy.
And he must have been really close to Dick Clark, too.
Oh, yeah.
You even mentioned Betty Davis Eyes that song, but you went on tour with Kim Carnes.
Yeah, yeah.
What was she like? That voice is just so dynamic.
Very distinctive, yeah. No, she was great. She was really great.
You know, you've had a lot of good experiences with a lot of different people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't even mention one that was bad. I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody really got on. I mean, you seem to click with everybody.
I've always had a good time, and I don't put any pressure on anybody. I give them their space, and when they want to have fun, all you got to do is call me.
That's right. We know we can count on you to have fun.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
Now, are you still friends with Paul Schaefer?
Yeah, I sure am.
Have you been on David Letterman's show?
I haven't been on David Letterman's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Paul about that, too, and he went, well, we're gonna make that change then. I go, okay, well, let's see that happen doing the book thing. So I'll see what happens.
How long have you been friends with Paul Schaefer?
Oh,
you remember what year that was?
God, yeah. It's been over 20, 25 years.
It must feel good to have these wonderful friends, and the famous people makes it even more of a thrill, I'm sure. I mean, to know famous people, who doesn't want to know somebody famous? You know?
I know. Paul was the one that got me into the Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh, really?
I was coming home from, I don't know where I was coming from, at the airport, and I met him there. And I went, Paul, where are you going? He said, I got to go to Canada. I go, well, I'm going home. He goes, well, have you ever been in a movie? And I go, well, no. He goes, I'll call you tomorrow. And sure enough, the next day he called. He goes, you want to be in Blues Brothers 2000?
And you were. You were in the movie.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're
in
movies.
That was a movie that we did in New Orleans, and everybody, I mean, from Aretha Franklin, James Brown, you name them, sang it. Now, that was a thrill, to have everybody of that stature just sing my song with me.
Other than not learning the piano more, do you have anything in your life that you'd still like to do?
Yeah, I'd love to play guitar.
And what's stopping you?
Out of my fat fingers. I can't get them to work right on that.
Well, there must be somebody you know who could teach you to a certain extent.
My guitarist was trying to teach me. He gave up.
We did?
I don't know, your fingers, because my wrist would cramp.
Miss, even if you you go to your grave knowing you tried things, it that means so much. At least you've tried it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bought two guitars, and they're just sitting downstairs because I can't play them. And they're two very expensive guitars, too.
Exactly. But there's a lot of it. I love, people can read the book, when they read the book, all the different experiences that you had. I mean, you've had racism, everybody, you know, people have looked at you. I mean, you've had everything. I mean, what more could possibly happen to you that hasn't happened already?
Oh, I know, but, you know.
They're just people that don't understand. It's amazing. I mean, the talent you have, and you'd think people would just accept it, and they haven't over the years.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
I think you will be all right. I really believe that.
I'll definitely be fine.
I love that confidence. You've always had confidence. Your mother,
yeah.
Your mother must have instilled. What was your dad like? Was your dad what's the word? I mean, encouraging as your mom was?
Not in music. Not in music. Like I said, Dad always wanted me to be a teacher, a professor, or something like that. And you know, I wanted to do music. So
you love what you love, and you know, think it would be easy. If your kids love this, let them do that. You know, but it's not that simple. A lot of times, you know, you always want them to succeed more than you did.
Yeah, you know, and thank God, Mom was She pushed me. Once she found out that I wanted to do music, I mean, she was behind me full force.
Right. Yeah. Now, you don't still go out on the road, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you still doing road trips?
Yeah, we're right now we've been doing about 50 a year.
Wow.
No, which is it's still a lot.
That's almost one a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were up to 175, 200.
My God, how in the world do you get through that many?
But that was doing the nightclubs and stuff, and that's when I guess, no, this is too much. This is absolutely too much. Let's just work with the...
And your voice must start to go after a while, I would think.
It's gotten better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Everybody keeps saying, my God, you sound better than you did. I know. I don't understand it. You know, God loves me.
Well, after you do 175 different venues, what is your voice like after that?
Oh, it was fine. Well, yeah, about 81, 82, we were doing, what did I do? 81, I did 11 months straight, 5 nights a week.
Your voice must have been tired after.
And then in 82, I did 10 months, 5 nights a week.
You've got a lot of resilience in you.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what happened. It's just, it doesn't falter at all.
I mean, you think even the Rolling Stones, they were touring. I don't know if they're still touring now, but then they're in their 60s, and they, you know, when you think about how much work that is.
Yeah.
I mean, they have people that help them, I'm sure, but still, you know, you still have to tour and travel, and at 60, in your 60s is not as easy as when it's in your 30s. You're in your 30s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's good for me. Like I said, I'm 74. I feel great. You know, my wife takes care of me. She makes sure I eat the right stuff because, you know, I'll eat anything, but she makes sure I eat the right stuff.
Right. Good for you. It's like they said, every man has one good woman behind them. Yeah.
Sometimes I hate her for that because there's a lot of times I want that pork chop.
Oh, definitely. Well, how many? You only live once. You might as well eat your pork chop now because you won't
get it. I know, but she won't give it to me.
Right. Now, you have a birthday coming up on June 6th, is it?
June 6th, yeah.
You're going to be 75?
No, 74.
Oh, you'll be 74 then. Okay. I just aged you a year. I hope you don't mind.
No, that's okay. I do it all the
time. I think Willie Nelson just turned 75 recently, didn't he?
Did he really?
I think so. I think he's 70. Well, I think he's probably a few years older now. It's amazing how fast time flies by.
Yeah, right.
You know, when you're living for the day, it doesn't seem like it's going very fast. When you look back and see how many years it's been since whatever, you know, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. I know. It really is hard to believe. I talk to my friends and we talk about the old days and I go, man.
So tell me I want to know what a typical day is like. When you wake up in the morning, what do you do? Tell me what a typical day is for you.
For me, I like working around the house. I mean, I have my shed out in the back and then I've got every tool you can think of. And I like I don't let the guys come here and do anything in the house. I from plumbing to electrical, I paint, I everything. I fix everything in the house. I do my own pool, you know.
Wow, you're quite
I love doing that. When I'm home, I love being home, and I love, you know, I mean, my wife, she won't call anybody. Something breaks.
She just calls you.
The dishwasher's not working. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
And you do. What a great guy to have around. You must be. All you have to do is mention it, and you're on it. You know, it's like, I'm there.
I am on it. And tomorrow, that's when I get that. That's my deck cleaning day.
Your deck cleaning. Now, you're living in, you're in New York now?
I'm in Long Island, New York. Yes.
Long Island, New York. Now, how did you get from, how many years you've been in New York?
I've been out here 39 years in Long Island.
Now, do you ever have lunch with famous people?
No. When I'm home, I'm home.
You're home.
I don't go nowhere, you know.
You're really a homebody.
I am. I like being here. I love my TV, and I love working.
What do you like to watch on TV?
I'm into like the NCIS and.
Oh, you like those? You like Mark Harmon and his shows and.
Yeah, I like that, and you know, shoot 'em up, bang bangs, you know.
There you go. Whatever. I mean, everybody likes something different, and that's, you know, that's amazing. I mean, it's just There's so much on TV to love today. I mean, there's so much of a diversity on TV.
I love Good Wife, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of weird, but it's a great show.
From what I hear, all you have to do is mention you want to be on the show, and they'll put you on the show.
Yeah, I love that. Revolution, I like that.
Oh, Revolution, yes. That's pretty popular nowadays.
Yeah, so any of those things. I don't like the reality shows. I don't get it.
And so you'd never do a reality show if they asked you?
Well, it depends on the money. I'll do anything.
Suppose they wanted to do a reality show on your life. Would you do it?
I think that would be a killer. I think that would be a killer.
Maybe we'll put an idea in somebody's head and they'll hear this.
I tell you, if you came here and stayed with me for 2 or 3 days at the house here, you'd have a blast. You wouldn't believe the stuff we do here.
I think I'll have to do that sometime.
And you're more than welcome.
I want to watch you at work.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. I feel like I could laugh and have fun with you all day.
Well, let's do that, David.
I think you really mean that.
I do mean that.
The book again, let me mention the book one more time, by U.S. Bonds, That's My Story, by Gary U.S. Bonds and Stephen Cooper, and it's out from Wheatley Press, and it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and wherever you want to get it. Is it in an e-book, too?
You got to get it at GaryUSBonds.com.
And GaryUSBonds.com, thank you for reminding me. Sometimes I forget the little details. Is it available as an e-book, too?
I believe it is. I think you can get it, Kindle. I don't think it's right away, though. I think that's going to be a couple of weeks.
And are you going to do an audio of it?
I want to do that. I was out talking to Stephen about that, and I think we can. But he says he has to wait for something. I don't know what he waits for.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David.
And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.